Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. We had the Rumble.
We did. We had a Royal Rumble.
And it was the greatest Rumble match ever. And everyone here feels the same way, right, Joel?
So, I was going to save my thoughts. Okay, so for those who don't know, there's a Facebook thread between Chris, myself, and the guys over at the Trashy Ring Attire Podcast.
Right.
And I was definitely going to save my thoughts on the Rumble in general for the podcast so that Chris and I could discuss it.
Same here.
And then Jonah baited me.
Yeah. Well, okay. I sent them all a message. Be like, hey, is there anything, like, because I know that they'll podcast later in the week or whatever, but I wanted to ask them if there was any, like, Rumble thoughts that they wanted to pass along that I could throw on the podcast. And I wasn't trying to start a debate. But Jonah came in, he's like, and like specifically like, well, Joel, this is how you build like a mid-card talking about that.
I think that was Blair that did that.
In all fairness. I don't remember. It was one of them. They all look the same. All the trashy guys look the same.
Whatever. I was baited into an argument.
Right.
So Chris, you know everything about my opinions on the Rumble now.
Well, okay, but to be fair, you had also said that, because you seemed kind of grumpy about it, but you also said you were going to rewatch it to see if that changed anything.
I did.
Personally, when you said that you're feeling a little, you might be a little grumpy about it, I was thinking it's because I won the $30 and you didn't in the Royal Rumble pool.
It's not the $30 that hurt.
Okay.
It's the stupid overweighted 5 points on the Rumble
issue. That is some BS. I agree with you. As a man who has nothing to gain by it, because I got it wrong as well.
Yeah.
And I'm very far. I'm not far enough down.
You're not winning.
No.
Unless everybody else predicts CM Punk surprise returns for every match for the next few pay-per-views.
Right. I have no hand in this game.
Yeah.
I think it's a 5 is a bit much. 3, possibly. It's that still seems high for you, but I feel like that's a good I don't know what the words are, but it seems like a compromise. That's the word I was looking for. 3 seems like a good compromise between 1 and 5, because it's in the middle. And that's how numbers work. Kids. Okay,
so what are your thoughts on the Rumble as well? Obviously, I'll say
like the whole pay-per-view or...
The Rumble.
The Rumble match. I feel like it's definitely better than last year.
Definitely better than last year.
Sure.
I definitely agree with that.
2 problems that I have, and I feel like it's the same problem that everyone has, is Roman's involvement. Mm-hmm. Because essentially they're doing the same thing as... Okay, here's the thing. Rumble itself, everything outside of Roman, I feel like was booked incredibly well. Which was my main issue with last year's, is that if anything that wasn't involving Roman... It felt like they just didn't really care about it and just kind of put together last minute.
Yeah.
Or was Big Show punching and dumping, like, mm-hmm. everyone.
Yeah.
And it's like he started to kind of do that this year, and I was getting a little worried.
Yeah.
But that they put a squash to that pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So the pacing of it felt better. AJ Styles coming in at 3. Felt like it was a little early, but... I still enjoyed it. And, you know, like we talked about, the production of it wasn't great. Because my thing, and because I know your points about the production and everything, and I know you're going to bring it up.
Yeah.
My biggest one was the fact that I would have liked to have the camera actually on the entrance for AJ.
Mm-hmm.
And not a close-up of Roman, who looks confused.
Yeah.
You know, and then you hear the crowd's reaction. And like, okay, something big is happening.
Yeah.
And like, oh, it's AJ. And they cut to AJ. He's already out.
Right.
I would have liked to have seen the Titantron, because apparently like the way the Titantron worked is that it was kind of a slow reveal.
Right.
Kind of like how when CM Punk came back and he had Cult of Personality started playing, we're like, what's this? And the Titantron didn't have anything. All of a sudden, the Titantron cut on new CM Punk.
Here's
stuff.
The thing. Go into that thing with the because we saw AJ's entrance on Raw, you know, after Rumble, and does the I am. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, when Phenomenal popped up, is when the crowd popped.
Sure, yeah.
Like, that was the moment, and I was like, God, I would have loved to pop with them. That sure would have been fun.
Sure.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Because I don't get to do that.
Pretty much. So, stuff like that is... And, of course, you know, am I thrilled that Triple H won and is the champion? No. But, to their credit, it does make storyline sense. Which is... Which is by and large what we kind of ask of WWE these days. That seems like a simple plan for them to follow. You're seething. Yes. It seems like a simple idea for them to follow, but yet they struggle so mightily at that. I'm not saying like, oh, they fixed everything because they followed, they made storyline sense this one time, even though we didn't really like the outcome. So, I don't know. I'm torn on Triple H thing. I'm not saying I'm completely in favor of it, but I'm not thinking that this is the worst thing in the world.
For me, the issue with last year's Rumble was that the Rumble felt sloppy.
Yes.
It felt haphazard. It felt thrown together at the last minute. Even last year's Rumble, Roman wasn't booked incredibly strong.
No.
Like, he broke Kane's record, too. He was booked incredibly strong in that
Rumble.
Absolutely. He wasn't.
But they couldn't do that 3 years in a row.
Obviously. Yeah. But, you know, he wasn't. Nobody was booked overly. Bray Wyatt was booked. Bray Wyatt was booked really strong last year.
Yes.
But the Rumble was booked sloppy. And it felt very last minute. It felt very haphazard.
Agreed.
That wasn't the problem with this one, and I do think that is true. I think it was a lot cleaner, a lot tighter, except for Roman.
Precisely.
And the thing is, with last year's, Roman wasn't really a problem last year. The Roman problem came from the moment he won.
The Roman problem, yes, because it was just kind of like the lazy dump.
Well,
the two guys.
And it was,
and then from that point on, yeah,
it was.
And see, honestly, like in the and even
no, see last year was so much. It's gonna be Roman. Buckle in. That's what's happening.
Right.
And so.
And it felt like for the majority of the match leading up to it, Roman was kind of like laying in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, he was sleeping for most of it.
Yeah.
The only difference is this year he did that off camera.
But so,
but essentially trying to do the same.
Well, no, I think it's different. It's because last year there was all the dislike and hatred pile on Roman. It really kicked off on the Rumble. It was the anti-Roman stuff is post-Rumble to WrestleMania, is that whole window. And this year's Rumble felt like that type of booking. Roman wasn't booked strong last year. Roman was booked very strong in this Rumble, the same way he was booked very strong
the Rumble before.
Post-Rumble.
Okay. When they try to
be like, this is the guy that's going to beat Brock Lesnar.
And then everyone hated it, and they're like, okay, well, let us convince you, or let's try to convince you.
Yeah.
And they made positive steps last year. We weren't exactly sold, but the main event of main event ended up being pretty good, regardless.
Yeah.
But leading up to it, we weren't exactly, convinced.
Well, leading up to that was a lot of it was basically, how dare you? And then this year they dared again. So my complaints with the Rumble are almost entirely Roman centric.
Sure.
I mean, I thought.
I mean, that's the biggest flaw in this one. I will agree with that.
I want to really take a moment to distinguish who to credit and who to condemn with this, because several wrestlers did really well. Kevin Owens, as a person, as a wrestler, came out and did amazing work in the Rumble. He had already had a match.
Right.
He came out.
While he was still selling.
He sold perfectly. He had great facial interaction, like his face when Sami Zayn's music hit. Like, Kevin Owens as a person did really, really well.
Yes.
AJ Styles as a person did really, really well. And it's the kind of thing where they... a lot of the individuals... Chris Jericho did really, really well.
Yes.
Chris Jericho looked the best he has since he was fighting CM Punk.
Yes.
So, a lot of guys... But WWE as a whole did not. Because...
Okay, yeah.
And to me, the biggest tell is the production that I was complaining earlier about. Chris cited one example of AJ Styles is coming out. AJ Styles is the biggest return / debut that's going to happen. And unless CM Punk comes back,
right.
That is the biggest, I can't believe he's here.
Right.
And like I said, I am phenomenal. And right. We hear the pop, and we're like, God, that must have been fun to pop to.
Right.
We didn't get to do that. Kofi. We didn't see Kofi get eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
That was Chris Jericho's only elimination in that Rumble. Chris Jericho was in that Rumble for an hour. He made one elimination. You didn't see it because Roman was breathing hard in the corner, and so we focused on that.
We had to watch, Roman breathing hard.
And so that's the thing, is like...
Yeah. And I know you had also seen that it was a gif of...
Somebody
Jericho and AJ fighting. They cut to...
They cut to a rest hold with Kane and Roman.
Right. And so you just kind of like, in the corner of the frame, you see like a foot fly or something.
You
like
see
that.
The build up.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You see the running build up to the flip.
Mm-hmm.
You cut to this rest hold, and then you see them on the mat.
Right. So basically, your biggest person to blame with most of this is Kevin Dunn and whoever is giving him direction, if anyone does give him direction, because it's basically the guy who is making the decision of what camera to cut to.
Yes. Okay.
I'm no fan of his beginning with, so I will.
No, and there
get on that train.
There are a lot of issues, and there's like the over zoom, and then there's the there's lots of issues to really
for big impact or whatever.
Yeah, there's to nitpick into problems with production, but WWE is putting on a TV show.
Yes.
And they are failing to do it. And just the whole of everything is centered around Roman. Roman gets beat up and has to go back to the, back.
Right.
Guys are getting, eliminated. We have a nice big focus on Roman walking back to the ring. A long extended shot of Roman on a ramp. Well, there's a Royal Rumble going on.
Right.
And then, things are happening while the announcers are reminding us, don't forget, Roman hasn't been eliminated yet.
Yeah.
And it's just,
it's frustrating.
To me, this Rumble is more indicative of strap in, because it's going to be Roman, you guys, than last year's was.
Right.
And last year's was The Rock pointing to him and being like, this guy.
Right.
This guy's good, right?
And everyone's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's one more, brick on the wall that is, we're just copy and pasting Stone Cold here. Because they did the exact same thing with Stone Cold at one of the Royal Rumbles that he won. The only difference is, he won.
Yeah. That. And I can't get behind, at this point, I can't get behind WWE not wanting Roman as the champion.
Right.
Because here's the thing, it's the big influencers of this are the Stone Cold storyline and the Daniel Bryan storyline. You know what? Stone Cold, as a character, loose cannon, goes through, I get it. You know what? We can't trust him to be face of the company. We have to put this down. We have to intervene. I get that as character motivation.
Right.
Daniel Bryan's goofy looking. Daniel Bryan's not great in crowds.
He's small.
He is not what we want. Physically, I get that.
Right.
Roman is tall and Thor looking.
And well-mannered.
And the cousin to The Rock. And
basically
follows the rules all the time.
Sure. As a publicly traded company, P holds no risk.
I can't. I need something. I need somebody from the authority to say, this is why we don't like Roman, besides, lol, I'm the bad guy.
Pretty much.
And
just, I don't know. Yeah.
And so, yes, you're right. Triple H versus Roman Reigns. That's where the story's going for wrestling.
Sure. But at the same time,
does not need the championship.
No.
There are plenty of stories that could use the championship.
Yeah.
You have 12 pay-per-views in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So once a month, we are doing something that is, price-wise, another WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
To set WrestleMania apart from all of those, you need to go beyond that every match on a WrestleMania card should theoretically be able to main event another match.
Sure.
Another pay-per-view.
Right.
There, Roman, Triple H, that's a WrestleMania match. The story's been leading to it. You've been building up. That's a WrestleMania match, right, all on its own. So, and Triple H should be against Roman. And then, like, Triple H coming out, being in the Rumble,
right,
focusing on Roman, or just interfering, getting Roman out of there. Yeah, that's fine. And then that title can go to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You have that exact same setup, but with, I mean, you have the whole exact same match, but Dean Ambrose wins.
Sure.
You know? You still have all the problems with, they've been focusing on, you know, Roman to the detriment of 29 other careers.
Right.
That's an issue still that exists, but then you have, oh, what are they going to do with this?
Then you can do the, well, who's the champion going to fight match, you know?
Yeah. Now we have, you know, we have the same thing. There is, for the upteenth year in a row, from January to WrestleMania, I know exactly what that storyline is.
Right.
I know how Roman's going to win at Fastlane. Like, I feel comfortable making that prediction now. I'm sure you do, too.
Same here. Like, because now they've announced the main event of Fastlane is going to be a triple threat of Brock, Dean, and Roman.
Yeah.
And Brock is probably going to get taken out by the Wyatts, setting up their
WrestleMania thing.
And then Roman's going to beat Dean for...
When is the last time between the Rumble and Mania where something remotely close to the main event was, I didn't expect that?
Them actually doing the Daniel Bryan story?
Pretty much, yeah.
But that was only after we, you know, crapped on their main event.
And that was, yeah, and that was so begrudgingly.
Long before they started, you know, making it seem very obvious that Roman was going to be the next guy.
Yeah.
So they needed basically a transition main event, and that's pretty much what it was, sadly.
Yeah. And then, but you said, like, it makes sense story-wise.
In the sense of the last time we saw Triple H was him, you know, getting completely, you know, torn down by Roman, which is... And for some reason, that moment was, like, the most over Roman's ever been in that Survivor Series. Like, the crowd was eating it up.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen him on Raw. But
here's the thing. That takes us to Raw this week.
Okay.
Where Triple H is the champion.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H will not be defending until WrestleMania.
Right.
So, we need a Fastlane main event to determine who he will be facing.
So,
we will be deciding that... By judging these matches...
By the whoever impresses them.
Whoever impresses us. Kalisto beats a former WWE champion.
Yeah.
AJ Styles beats a former WWE
future
champion.
Future Hall of Famer.
Brock Lesnar doesn't show up.
Yeah.
And gets the main event.
I mean, that's the heel thing to do, really, on the part of authority.
The authority comes out with three people to all cut promos about how they really hate Roman, how they really had to stick it to Roman,
but yet
how they curved the whole Rumble to stick it to Roman, and then they freebie give him another chance at the title.
I mean,
he has a clause in his contract
and that's
for a rematch.
Easy out for them. Like, okay, we know you have a rematch clause, but we're going to make you earn it. That and do it that way or something. And then we're going to judge other people for you to possibly face.
And,
to
like, and we'll do a triple threat and make it harder. So they don't remember that rematch clause exists, but they remember that Heath Slater and Flo Rida have a rivalry.
Yeah. You're right. You're not wrong. So
just
the clause would have been like a logical way of
going
about it.
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's, you need a sentence.
Right.
One person says
like, we're
one
going
sentence.
To judge, and we're going to handpick who we feel deserves a championship opportunity by going to this number one contender.
So you
pick Roman and his best friend.
Yeah.
And then go for the money grab with Brock.
And you throw in one, to keep it in kayfabe, you throw in one little scene where Paul Heyman is like, you know, Brock was not eliminated by legal members. We are now going to be suing WWE for breach of contract.
Was never pinned for the championship. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
So, sure. And that's fine and easy. And you have 3 hours. You can fit that in.
Sure.
So, but just...
But then again, did we... And, you know, I'm kind of okay with it going kind of that way, aside from the points that we just made. Because I don't need to see Roman or Dean come to the end of another tournament.
Yeah.
Because they had two tournaments in the past, like, 3-4 months, which usually I'm all for, especially if it's, like, a one-night tournament kind of thing.
Right.
But I don't need to see the same guy win every single freaking tournament, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to throw a wrench in things, you know, make it, oh, I don't know, what's the word, interesting? Then sure.
But it's a main event that I don't really want to see. So
Roman and Triple H but is going to be the main event.
Well, it has to be. It's that story and it's the title.
Fair enough.
So
unless they can find something interesting for Brock that's not the Wyatts, because I don't feel like him versus Wyatt would be main event.
And it might also
unless they do something completely interesting.
This might be just me, but like I'm not super feeling Brock and Bray.
No, me neither.
Because
it feels like it's yet another feud that Bray is going to ultimately lose in the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And just, I'm like, okay.
I don't know. I don't know what there is to fix about the Wyatts, because they're not necessarily broken, but I'm not itching to see them do anything, because it seems like the same kind of thing. I'm ready for something different.
One, we need, like, everything's been too vague too long. It's gotten into GM, anonymous GM territory.
Right.
And part of it is also, he's the one kooky character in an age where everybody just uses their normal name, and wrestling is their job.
Right.
Like, he's the throwback character who's, like, the weird creature. And so he doesn't, that thing doesn't necessarily gel well character-wise with other people.
And he does
great in the ring. He gels wonderfully with everybody in the ring.
Absolutely, and but like, character-wise, it's
And honestly, the
stretch.
Thing he gelled best with character was John Cena, where it's like the ultimate goody-good. Well, no, the thing he gelled best with was Undertaker. New Face of Fear, that like, because Undertaker was the...
When Undertaker was actually, you know, doing promo work leading up to it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, character-wise, Undertaker's the weird kooky from yesteryear.
Yeah.
He's the current weird kooky. Okay, I get where that, you know, feud comes
from. That ties together, yeah.
Other than that, John Cena, where you have ultimate good and, you know, weird backwater kooky, and so it's like, okay, will he... I get that. But, like, him... This thing's like, him versus Dean Ambrose, or him versus Kevin Owens.
I'd rather see the guy coming out, because we had seen the Dean Ambrose thing.
In a feud, those guys are going to put on a fantastic match. But what's the character motivation for either one of them to be there? And it's just, it's kind of not there.
And what vague
of...
reasoning is Bray going to give to singling out Brock, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just one thing, is like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Paul Heyman's going to, you know.
Paul Heyman will sell it. It'll be great.
Right now, I'm just like, how is he going to do that?
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's just a challenge that they put out for him. Like, hey, bet Paulie can't make a promo about a kooky guy over there. And Paul's going to be like, effing watch me.
It's just, I don't, Brock needs some motivation to be there too. Especially because Brock isn't there a lot.
Other than we made Brock angry by ganging up on him.
Yeah, well, Brock's not there a lot, so when Brock shows up, you have to believe, it's something worth it to him.
Right.
So, like, the title...
So...
And The Undertaker's been the other thing, where it's like, okay, I get why he is that legit mad at The Undertaker. They need to do this feud. Mm-hmm. I get
that. And it kind of makes sense, because, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why didn't Brock just come out and do something against the Wyatts on Raw? It's like, well, now that we know the main event, he's got to, you know, that's where promo focus has to be right now.
Yeah.
You know? So, really, they're not going to pull the trigger on that until probably during the main event of Fastlane.
Yeah. But now we have to twiddle our thumbs through Fastlane when, you know how that match is going to end. And I'm like, and you're sitting here, and the big question is Roman going to pin Dean or Brock?
Yeah.
And either one's like, oh,
it's going to be Dean.
Well, that's the thing. He's like, I don't know which one's sadder. Is it going to be, he's going to pin Dean. Dean's there just to eat the pin because that's what he's there for. Or is it, you didn't let us pin Brock last year with Roman. We will do it now on a lesser pay-per-view.
Sure.
I mean, because he'll pin, if he pins Brock, it'll be because of Wyatt interference.
Right.
But that's the big mystery is, who is Roman going to pin?
Yeah.
Which, at the end of the day, I don't care.
Yeah, because, I mean, both scenarios is going to be kind of sad.
Yeah.
Really, like, Fastlane's, the name of Fastlane should be, like, Traffic Light. Because we're all sitting there, sitting and watching a red light, and just like, all right, well, at the end of this 3 hours, the light's going to turn green, and we can just get past this.
Yeah, no, Fastlane is just, should be called friggin' ugh.
Fastlane is like, we have pay-per-view commitments.
Well, that's the thing, is like, in all honesty, I mean, the Chamber was a cool thing. The Chamber was a gimmick. The Chamber was...
Right.
And it also helped that they had two titles back then.
And it helped add in a little bit of mystery on where they were going with the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the champion's got to go through a really horrible match with five other people. And so they could, like, pause, or they could wait a little bit longer to kind of show their hand on exactly what they were going to do with the championship.
Yeah.
Now, that's also when we had the championship split. So they could be a little bit more vague, at least about one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's like with just one, it's like they have to show their hand a lot sooner for some reason. They don't have to.
Well,
but
it's like, I don't think it's just because of just one. Like, the past couple of things, the past couple of WrestleMania main events, you've been sitting there being like, oh, I know where they're going with this, at around SummerSlam.
Right.
You know? And like, the Daniel Bryan's the one where they weren't, but that's the one where we're like, okay, I know where they're going with this, and I'm actually excited about it for once, because of what was happening at SummerSlam. So, and we had to, you know, go back and finish that storyline.
So, because I'm setting up the timeline, and pretty much the presumption is Roman versus Triple H for the championship.
Yeah.
With kind of Seth Rollins, like, waiting in the you know, the wings, like, pretty soon after, from what I understand from his timetable.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime after Mania, he should be good to go. And I'm assuming he's going to get a monster reaction. He's going to get a face reaction. Do they keep the belt somehow on Triple H after WrestleMania to do that story? Because that was kind of what was rumored to that they were wanting to do for Mania. Maybe not for the championship, but Seth versus Triple H.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the injury might have kind of killed that. Because if you have Seth come back, like, let's say the night after Mania.
Right.
Like, around that time, he attacks the winner, whoever that may be.
Right.
And assuming Roman's going to win.
So that would assume that they're keeping Seth heel.
Which means they think...
Or they're going to try.
Yeah. And I would be willing to predict, like, if you have Seth coming back to be a heel against your newly crowned face champion, Roman...
Who probably just spent the night at WrestleMania 32 getting booed to high heaven.
Well, part of it, I do want to talk about, like, I felt, and I mentioned this in the thread, but I felt like watching the Rumble, I was geared up for WWE versus the Fans Part 3. I was
sure.
Like, here it goes. And I have not seen the outcry that I've seen the past 2 years.
No, because, again, like, it kind of goes back to our discussion about the Rumble. Sure, they had their weak moments. Sure, it didn't seem like they were thrilled with, you know, any of the spots that they had Roman running. But Triple H is going to get a response, especially if he goes in the ring. He's going to get a pretty big response. And also, you know, it kind of pains me to say this, but some of the stuff that they've been doing to try to build Roman has had some success. So people aren't as collectively against him being pushed as they were a year ago.
Yeah. Okay, so...
So, like, the outcry of it is not as bad, because, again, like, from a storyline perspective, it kind of makes sense with the last time that we saw Triple H. So they're not as pissed about that. And, but at the same time, we probably should be, because it's still getting shoved down our throats, even mm-hmm. though we don't kind of, well, half the fans maybe are okay with it.
So, but that, I don't know. I think that might be part of what's bumming me out, mm-hmm. is like, I feel like they're getting away with it.
Right, because their damage control from a year ago has worked at least a little bit.
Yeah, and then like...
And so it's enough people that are okay with it that WWE is now a little bit... They can get away with it a little bit easier than they would
yeah.
have been able to.
And it's...
Which is such a weird thing to talk about. It's like you're a publicly traded, you're an entertainment company that you're trying to get the fans to get on board with.
Yeah.
And if you were sitting there talking about them like getting away with stuff, I'm just like, it's so weird to even comprehend that that's essentially what they're doing.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Part of it is, again, like I don't want to be the stick in the mud that's like, Roman will never be good and I will always hate Roman. And
sure.
Da, da, da. And I don't, like, even looking at it, it's not that I don't think Roman isn't ready.
Right.
You know, like I did that last year. Roman's not ready.
Because the injury that he had, I think, was SummerSlam. And then when he came back, they were handling him with kiddie gloves.
Yeah, and it was...
And yeah, we were supposed to believe... He's
the one that's gonna
championship, yeah.
Yeah, and he, I think when he won the Rumble, he had two single matches like in existence, and so like, no, Roman didn't feel. Roman feels ready now, or at least a lot closer to ready.
With the exception, he's got almost every piece of the puzzle put together to be a main eventer, except for that little thing called fan support.
Well,
but he's like, if he had those like a progress bar, he's at least maybe 50-60% there.
He's being poorly booked, and I kind of don't want to hold that against him. That's just
sure.
WWE's. And part of it is like, yeah, Roman's good. It just, unfortunately for him, he's on the same card as Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens, and now AJ Styles. Like, he's on the same card with a lot of guys that I'd rather see.
Sure.
You know, which is, Mick Foley pointed it out at one point in one of his, omnibus biographies, mm-hmm. where he was like, it's a blessing and a curse that I was on a card with, I was in the main event scene with Rock and Stone Cold and Triple right. H and, Chris Jericho and all that. And
this
it was like
a rotation of guys, so no one really got stale.
Right, and he was like, that's great that I got all these guys that I could have matches with, but at the same time, there were all these guys, it wasn't like, it's harder to stick in the main event, and so there were all these guys that I would rather see than Roman.
Right.
Which, I can't necessarily hold against Roman for, like, I don't like you because you're just not Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
But at the same time, looking at Roman getting there and Dean Ambrose not, you're like, that's just, there's no real reason that that's happened.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm more disgruntled with the booking of Roman than actual Roman this year. Last year, no, Roman wasn't ready.
No.
He was bad at what he did.
Right.
This year, he obviously still needs work. The great Roman promo has not happened yet.
No.
Don't know if it will happen.
It might be a while. I will say this.
I mean, the great Daniel Bryan promo was him not saying any words and just yesing.
Right. Sure. But the wave of fan support and his work in the ring, it kind of made up for it.
Yeah.
Roman, he doesn't, it's like the three... It's the triangle of success, You had Daniel Bryan, one side of the triangle, and it was pretty long. It was his in-ring ability. The other side was fan support. It was pretty long. And then that little short bit in the middle that connected everything was his promo work. It wasn't great, but he had these other two sides that were great. Roman doesn't really have alongside of that triangle. It's really just a really tiny, I forget what the name of the...
What are you talking about?
I forget the name of the type of triangle that's equal on all sides and the angle's the same.
Equilateral?
That one. He's a tiny, tiny equilateral triangle.
Did you know where you were going to end with this when you started it 8 years ago?
Is it okay for me to lie and say yes?
I don't...
It's a metaphor that worked eventually, you punk.
And at the same time, So, we watched Wrestling versus Wrestling last year. I'm going somewhere with this. I do know where I'm going with this. Wrestling isn't wrestling.
Okay, you said wrestling versus wrestling.
Wrestling isn't wrestling.
Okay, all right.
And watching that, Triple H, as a character, as a 25-year character, mm-hmm. needs one more title run. And this seems like it might be, like, this is...
Yeah, I mean, in all notions, this is the final championship run of Triple mm-hmm. H, if it's not his final run as, you know, an active wrestler in general.
Yeah. And so, but it's... It is the fact that... it is the fact that nothing has changed in the long run. That nothing has really changed. That I have griped and complained, and you have griped and complained, and everyone has griped and complained, and the ratings have plummeted over this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there have been rallying boo cries, and it was just kind of this, what else are you going to watch? And they stayed the course.
Right.
And they stayed true to, I'd rather 10 people cheering for the main event I booked than a arena full cheering for the main event that I didn't want.
Sure, yeah.
And we got tiny minor victories. He's going to beat Triple H instead of Brock Lesnar.
Right,
yay.
Yeah.
But we're getting WrestleMania with Roman holding the championship above a vanquished beast. And we're supposed to be really happy and excited about this.
This is the same year that they're trying desperately to break another attendance record.
Yeah.
Which they're going to... Even if they don't break it, they're going to lie and say that they did. They fudge the numbers every year. But in this attempt that... This attendance-grabbing attempt that they're making, and yet they go with not necessarily what the fans want again. It shows an astounding amount of arrogance on their part, on Vince's part, on the company's part. Yeah. Like, you know what? It's WrestleMania. You guys are gonna come and sell out the place anyway. So I can do whatever main event I want.
I mean, I am. I'm gonna watch WrestleMania. Like I'm not gonna.
Oh yeah, what are we gonna do? Cancel LaserMania?
I'm not gonna pretend that I'm.
Or
not.
Have LaserMania the entire night, or do the entire weekend, and then you know.
Not
watch a Quentin Tarantino movie or something at the end of it. Come on.
I don't know what I thought because like.
Yeah, and that's yeah. It's like, what do you think was gonna happen?
Because
they're going to put Roman on the card somewhere.
Well, yeah, they're going to put Roman. Roman should fight sure. Triple H. Sure. And like, it really comes down to it comes down to the Royal Rumble was built around Roman, and it looks like Fastlane, WrestleMania, and the entire road to WrestleMania is being built around this. Everything else is an afterthought.
Yeah.
To this one wrestler, this one story.
And there's no release valve this time. There's no Money in the Bank guy to bail him out this time.
Well, and that's just... I watch your product 3 hours a week. Sometimes six... I watch it 4 hours a week. But I watch WWE product 4 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
or more, sometimes up to 6 or 7 hours a week. you throw anything on the network that I watch, it's not crazy to say I watch 10 hours of your program content a week.
Yeah.
And to have all of that programming focused around one person, to have what's on the roster? 60 people?
Sure. Yeah, probably more, but
yeah.
But that seems like a
safe to have 60 people, 60 of the best wrestlers in the world, to have the money to buy the rest of the best wrestlers that you don't have,
right?
Which you're doing,
yeah.
And to know that all of this is going to be bent around making sure that this Roman thing is going to work. Is very, very disheartening. I want to see 69 days as of Monday till WrestleMania, they said. I want to see 69 days of build-up to a four-hour show.
Right.
I don't want to see 67 days of a build-up to one match.
Right.
And then
kind of copy paste for
getting those rest of them in there,
right,
to fill out the show.
And then, but yet have the remaining Raws, SmackDown, and whatever feel like, okay, we're just treading water, waiting to get to Mania, when they could be building up something else that hasn't already been built yet. He's like, you've established your main event, sure, fine, and you can have like a segment or two kind of refreshing that.
Yeah.
But the bulk of your show now needs to be building up everything else.
Yeah.
You know, once you've built it, like, okay, that can put into a nice container, put that over the main event. Now we build something else. You know, we can bring out some, you know, something to kind of keep that fresh.
Mm-hmm.
All the other stuff that you've already established. But yeah, you need to use the time that you've got. That's the reason why they start WrestleMania season or whatever at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It gives you plenty of time. And even, like, the time between Fastlane and WrestleMania, they pretty much skip a month, essentially. There's no pay-per-view in March.
Yeah.
So you've got extra time to do that. Instead, the past few years, Raw's just going to feel stale the last couple weeks before Mania.
Yeah. That's why I didn't like the Rumble. Mm-hmm. Because it was forecasting all about Roman.
Sure.
And some of it should be about Roman. Like, he's a main event player. He's worked his butt off, in all genuine honesty. He should be having a main event match. Mm-hmm. He should be having a match against Triple H. And you know what? If you really felt like that had to be about the title, you could get away with it and make it okay for me. Like that's,
but there's no reason to make the entire Rumble about Roman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I'd be... It would have been a 4-minute grump fest on this podcast instead of a whatever we're at now.
Almost 45. Yeah.
So, but, and again, it's.
And again, to their credit, I will say that, yes, last year's WrestleMania, or not really, last year's Royal Rumble was 100% Roman fest, you know? There was no real, like, other storylines getting set up or anything. This one, it set up some stuff that could be something, could not be, that some of it is yet to be seen. But they did a good job of setting up some other stuff. It set up, in a way, kind of set up Jericho and AJ, you know. And then that kind of went further with you know, you saw kind of where it going, because, you know, when Jericho kind of, you know.
Yeah. Well,
called him kid and... And, you know, did the hang on to the handshake kind of thing. And you even had a little bit of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Well, part of that, though, is like, I don't know how much of that is WWE. Because, again,
sure,
Kevin Owens, the wrestler, came to play. He did amazing. He did everything right. He had a solid, memorable night in the Rumble. Like, ignoring that he had match of the night before that. Like, he had just a great night. He had great ring presence and interactions. He did fantastic. I don't feel comfortable giving any of that credit to WWE. Right.
It could have just been like, here's how we're going to do our spots,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, it's like, there was like a story a couple years ago when Goldust wasn't with the company at that time, but he was going to make a surprise appearance. And basically, like, him and Cody had went to, like, one of the camera guys, or he talked to somebody in the production, probably Kevin Dunn, who was like, hey, when Goldust music hit, you cut to Cody's face. And they did that, and you had that reaction where, like, you know, and basically we had yet another, like, impromptu brother versus brother moment, which I feel like they did that, like, every year for a while, just be like, hey, ready-made feud for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pull the plug on this, or pull the trigger on this. So, sure, like, it might not be 100% WWE's idea, but at the same time,
they brought in
Sami Zayn for this, knowing that Kevin Owens is going to be in the ring, so they're like, we kind of... How do you not foresee
part
that happening?
Part of what it is we had one joke entrant instead of the usual eight joke
entrants. And honestly, that one joke entrant was pretty hilarious.
No, it was good. And I am really fine with one or two joke entrants. I guess we had two because a social outcast thing happened. But like I am fine with that. You have 30 things. This is a match that's over an hour long. Like,
sure.
Yeah, let's have some fun.
Let's not be overly serious about the entire thing.
Yeah, so I'm totally fine with that happening. But because you had fewer of that, and AJ was the surprise entrant, like, you didn't have any...
Some people were trying to sell that Kane was the surprise entrance, but I'm not buying that.
No, you didn't have any... You didn't have any Godfather coming back.
No,
or...
there was no, like, old-timer former, unless you count Triple H.
Yeah.
Him and Triple, like, but AJ and Triple H were, like, the big surprises, even though we knew they were, it was happening.
But because of that, you have a lot of good talent in the ring, and just because of that, they'll do good together.
Sure.
Like, part of what the problem was last year is, you know, you have talented guys, you have Bray Wyatt's in the ring being talented, and, like, they send out the boogeyman.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, Bray Wyatt's only going to be able to do so much impressive stuff facing the boogeyman.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why it was a pretty quick moment.
Exactly. You know,
they hit their marks, and they threw him off relatively.
Yeah. So just by the fact of having the, you know, Chris Jericho and Ambrose. Yeah, and Ambrose and AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, like, having all these people in there at the same time. And, you know, same as Zane, like, yeah, there'll be some teases of feuds and stuff, just naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, you gotta cut away because Roman's in a rest hold.
Right, yeah.
And just that's, I don't know. Let's move on, because...
We don't have to go through the entire card right now.
I've put through that for the...
Yeah, I mean, we've already established that, you know, the last man standing match with Ambrose and...
That was the title
easily match of the night. Fun match.
Sasha Banks is back. That's exciting.
It is. Setting up, I'm guessing, Charlotte versus Sasha for Fastlane.
Are we doing a heel versus heel thing here?
Sasha attacked both girls, so I don't know if she's full-on heel. They might keep her in tween.
Well, Sasha should be a heel, because Sasha's the best heel I have on the roster.
She is.
And Charlotte...
I would be kind of mad if they did this whole, like, Charlotte heel turn just for this month.
Mm-hmm.
And turn her back face.
Yeah. But Charlotte attacked Becky on Raw, so maybe they'll remember that she's a heel for more than 8 minutes. So
possibly.
Cross your fingers.
Do you think they're going to do that for Fastlane, or are they going to do it for Fastlane and WrestleMania? I would like for them to just save it for WrestleMania.
I don't know. I can see any of the, you know, any combination of those three.
Sure.
And it might be Sasha and Charlotte at Fastlane, and then a triple threat at Mania.
Fine. Yeah, fair enough.
It would be nice to see Paige do something in there, but I guess Paige
has
thrown her lot in with the Total Divas crowd.
I mean, well, Nikki Bella had neck surgery, so she can't do those in-ring promotions of Total Divas like the rest of the cast can.
Yeah.
It feels so wrong to say the word cast. But yeah,
I know, but like watching it was like the whole Total Divas cast and like coming out for their match and Paige was part of it, and I was like, oh, AJ made the right call not being on that show.
Yeah.
I understand why she did that.
Uh huh. Yeah, I'm interested to see where that goes. Sasha, other than AJ, was probably the reaction of the night.
Oh yeah.
Outside of AJ, the United States Championship match was good. It could have gone a little bit longer for me, but it was still
every other match on the card was good. Sure, was a good absolutely. Match. There wasn't a clunker on there.
No, no. Aside from a couple, you know, some spots in the Rumble, it was a pretty top tier night.
Mm-hmm.
I feel. I feel like, you know, the most people that we've talked to agrees with us. And then that's pretty much it in the Rumble.
Yeah. Rock was on this week. Did that feel weird to you?
It sure did.
What?
It's funny, like, there's a theory with a lot of people online. They're like, was the Rock, like, coked out of his mind when he went on Raw? And I'm not entirely convinced that's not true.
Like, the whole backstage sequence.
It was weird that he kept going like that. The Big Show thing was funny. The Miz thing was fine. Not entirely okay with, you know, Lana getting slut-shamed.
Yeah, I wasn't wild about that.
No, really wasn't wild about that. And you would think, even if it is The Rock, that, you know, Rusev would have came in guns blazing on that.
Mm-hmm.
He should have. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish he did. But yeah. Then again, a face would do that.
Yeah.
But whatever. But the whole thing of, like, standing outside a gorilla, that whole, like, doing all that stuff, like, hey, I'm slut-shaming this person, I'm making fun of Big Show, I'm making fun of Rusev, I'm making The Miz, you know, park my car, but now I'm going to get inspirational on you. And I'm like, that's a weird transition. And I don't know, it's just, you know, just The Rock's, he gets over with such sophomore, you know, sensibilities, yeah. Which is, you know, fine, it has its time and place, and we know Vince loves that kind of stuff.
I mean, again, I feel like I say it every time Rock is on. Rock has so much natural charisma.
Sure, absolutely.
Like, I feel like you could give Rock just like tilly-tubby gibberish. Be like, and this is all you can say.
Sure.
And Rock would make it work. And Rock makes things work.
Sure, absolutely.
And part of that.
And honestly, his interaction with New Day is 1,000 times better than Jericho's.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Jericho's felt more forced than this. Now, you know, it there's an element of it feeling forced when everything's a setup to a, you know, a catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just something that you just, like, you have to accept is going to happen because it's Rock's going to do it.
There's good and same bad at that. Rock, you know, Rock is the most charismatic guy that sure. they have, that they haven't maybe ever had.
Yeah.
Just natural charisma oozing out of every pore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's gonna get over with literally everything, and that's good. And on the, you know, flip side of that, The Rock doesn't necessarily have to say good things to get over. So
all that being said, how gross does it feel that that was pretty much done so he can launch his partnership with Under Armour? That was the news that came out today.
Yeah,
his partnership with Under Armour is official, and that's why he was wearing the shirt. Yeah. And I'm guessing that was, like, the biggest platform that they had put together for him to come on Raw to do that.
I mean,
it's good timing, really.
Like, I'm assuming they were in Miami, and it was, like,
sure,
convenient.
Yeah, when they announced that, oh, there's a special guest coming back. Or
yeah, it's like, I'll give it.
Now it's The Rock.
I'll give it to him, like, The Rock is a busy dude.
Sure.
The Rock's not gonna fly to where Raw is ever. Like, if their schedules line up in the same city, yeah, he'll stop by for the 30 minutes that he needs to stop by.
With the exception being WrestleMania 31, because I feel like he was on the East Coast and then flew in that day just to do that.
Oh, no, he'll fly in for WrestleMania. Sure, yeah. Like, that's a totally different thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for Raw, no, he'll their schedules line up.
So, and we've noticed, and we've noted that The Rock has been involved in WrestleMania
literally every WrestleMania
since 27. So, it's five.
Yeah.
It's five. Out of those five, three of them has had a Rock pep rally
mm-hmm.
of some kind. Two of them happening at the beginning. Then last year's being, like, in
in the
kind of before stalling for when
the sun hadn't gone down yet,
waiting for the sun to go down so Undertaker can make his entrance.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 32 is going to start with a Rock pep rally, isn't it?
Unless they go ahead and let you know what the Rock's doing, what match
he's. But they just say he's going to be there.
I know.
He's going to come out and he's going to do. He's basically the host without telling them he's the host. You know.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that they didn't announce that. Unless they have something else planned for him. When Rock spotted the dressed up fans in the crowd, for a second when he was like, he made that look like, I noticed something, and it's off camera, and the crowd goes nuts, and I'm like, they didn't get Ronda in here, did they? You know? Because the crowd went nuts.
Yeah.
But it really, and all it was those same guys were... making a scene on camera, on the hard camera side, the match before, and they had just moved them off camera to the other side. Not kicking them out, but they're just moving them to the other side so they wouldn't be on camera.
Well,
and yet they got The Rock's attention, and they got to be, well, you know, part of his promo.
Yeah, first of all, that's where Flo Rida was, and I was like, he's going to bring Flo Rida in. He didn't know Flo Rida was going to be there.
Oh, yeah, because he was there. Yeah, because they did that segment earlier. Because I knew, like, because I saw on Instagram that Rick Ross was there. I was like, oh, okay, now they're going to pander to another rapper.
But the most wasted opportunity of The Rock's career, he didn't say, what, you know, who are you or what are you dressed as, what's your name, to the Hogan guy. And then cut him off with, it doesn't matter what your name is.
Yeah, that's, had he planned that out,
like,
that's the one you do it to.
Yeah.
That, but no, he just went for the first one on down the line.
Yeah.
But the Hogan one is the one you do it
to. That's just a missed opportunity.
Also, and I know I'm not trying to be like hypersensitive or hyper, you know, whatever. But it did kind of feel messed up that, you know, he was just like, I don't know who the other black dude is, you know, on the commentary team. And I'm like, okay, calm down. It would be funny if he would have been like, you know, Coachman 2.0 or something like that, because, you know, Rock had a lot of interactions with Coachman back during his heyday. So if he had kind of played more into that, it would probably have been a little bit more funnier. Because I thought that's where he was going with it.
I don't know if The Rock actually knows who Byron Saxton is.
He might completely not know who Byron Saxton is.
Like,
and I honestly... kudos to New Day for completely pointing out. It's like, no, that's Byron Saxton, and he's, you know, and they put him over and stuff. And then they're like, oh, so he's the black guy you don't know. Well, here's the black guys you do know, and then they completely go off on him. I'm like, I like that. All right, well done.
Cause I just,
unless that was completely planned by them, then fine, whatever. But I think
the script was,
let Rock go.
Rock shows up, 13 minutes, cut to commercial.
I felt like it was longer than 13 minutes.
Rock shows up, 13 minutes, New Day comes out, 13 more minutes, and cut to commercial.
Okay, fair enough. Speaking of, and I wanted, it was a slight tangent, but the new show, I keep forgetting what it's called.
Ride Along. I haven't watched Ride Along yet.
I highly suggest, people watch that, because it was fun. I mean, Miz and Dolph, they have a, you know, certain chemistry.
Right.
Not on camera, of course. Or at least not on
WWE. Only on hidden camera.
They have a chemistry when they're not scripted by WWE.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. And then you got New Day in a car, which, sure. And I told them earlier, like, you and the Trashy guys earlier, that the funniest moment was towards the end when, because Big Show had been sitting in the middle seat of
Big E.
Big E. What did I say?
Big Show.
Wow. Whatever. Big E was sitting in the middle of the back seat, assuming so he could be in the camera.
Yeah.
But it was bugging me out because he was the only one not wearing a seatbelt because he was in the middle seat. Maybe the seatbelts are just too small for that giant dude. Whatever. completely reasonable. But at the end, like, you know, because he kept complaining that the heat was too high or whatever, and so he kept threatening to roll the windows down. He finally did. And then, I guess they're at a stoplight or whatever, and he just, like, stretched one leg out, had his foot sitting outside of the window, then stretched the other one out and had it sitting on the opposite window. It was doing a full split, and just looked the most comfortable I've ever seen him. And just their reaction, like, this is really happening. Like, how are you that flexible? And then Kofi kept threatening to roll up the windows. He was like, no, that's not happening today. And it was super funny. I enjoyed the crap out of it. And a lot of it was, you know, Kofi just like, you know, being the older guy, it's like, guys, don't embarrass me. And they're like, oh, and that just made them want to even more.
Is that show half hour? Or?
Yeah, it, okay. 20-some minutes. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That was good. The 24 of WrestleMania 31.
Right.
It was all right. It's a lot of footage that we had kind of already seen.
Mm-hmm.
In various others, like the Sting stuff we had already seen.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of the Roman stuff in his own 24 about the same thing. So I was kind of weird. It was kind of weird that they had done this one, because I feel like, you know, they had already done that for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It was interesting. It's worth a watch. But the ride-along thing was a lot more interesting, I thought.
Yeah.
And then they said the Edge and Christian thing is going to be premiering right after Fastlane.
Yeah.
And it looks like a sketch show.
I don't know. I don't know what it looks like. Like.
And honestly, when it was pitched and they kind of put out a press release about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that sounds kind of dumb, to be honest with you. But I've actually seen some footage, and I'm like, all right,
let's see what they do with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's Edge and Christian. I'll give them a chance.
Right.
I'm weirded out by the cartoon, the adult cartoon. I'm like,
that they keep calling it the adult cartoon.
Yeah, because is that like WWE adult, where they just go too far with it, or is it just adult because they don't have any limits, and so they're allowed. So the show's allowed to be funny.
Yeah, like so. Are they just hedging their bets? Because...
Right. Is it like really good humor that just doesn't have any limits, or is it just fart and poop jokes, and they can say bad words a lot?
Don't know. We'll find out.
Sure will. No timetable on when that happened, and they said more Austin podcasts, and no explanation on
when Taker is going to do it.
Yeah, and that's the one we all want.
Yeah. So, anything else for this week?
No, that's it.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You can click subscribe, give us a rating of
5 stars,
or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. Keep up with the podcast. See what else we're doing.
Yep.
All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.